to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Matt Michelle, good friend of the program from the Orlando Sentinel, talking some college football now that the committee rankings are in. How are you, my friend? Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Yeah, I'm good. Everything's good. Getting ready for a holiday week.
It's kind of rivalry week, but it's not really. Some teams are playing them, some are not. But the committee did release its rankings. No real surprise, but did you find some nuggets of, ooh, okay, I didn't expect that from their rankings?
Yeah, you know, I think the top one to me, at least, was, you know, Georgia at number 9. You
yeah.
know, I felt like a Georgia team that, you know, has two losses, hasn't looked good, hasn't really kind of played that complete game yet. To put them up at number 9, to me, I think was a little high. I would have probably had them down a little farther. And I think, you know, BYU coming in at 14, you know, I mean, I think that's another one that everyone kind of was scratching their head a little bit. I mean, we've seen this happen in the past with this committee where, you know, an undefeated team comes into that first ranking and people assume based on maybe the other rankings that they'll be a top 10 team or whatever, and they don't end up being that way. We've seen that with group of five teams, over the years. And I think BYU is experiencing that as well, which just goes to show that you look at their schedule. And again, as the committee pointed out, they haven't had very many, you know, big quality wins except for that one in Boise State. And they didn't feel like that was as strong as it could be. So those right off the top of my head were the really two biggest, kind of head scratchers going into after the selection committee rankings last night.
A lot of people like to point to the top four, obviously, because of the playoff implications, but these schools are trying to get noticed and recognized in the rankings. Did anybody get hurt? Did you feel like anybody is being really, really hurt by either COVID, lack of games, lack of non-conference games in the rankings?
You know, I would say, I don't know if it was COVID, not necessarily. I mean, Oregon, obviously, at 15. I mean, Oregon's only played, three games so far. I think the Pac-12 starting when they did, which is the latest of all the conferences, I think that puts them behind the eight ball a little bit. You know, I mean, the committee members talked about it last night, you know, that they just don't have a big enough, sample size right now to see how good Oregon really is. Oregon could be a great team, but, you know, until they really play more games, they're at 15. I think you saw the similar thing. When you look around with the Big 12 too, a little bit, you know, I mean, again, the Big 12 played a pretty good schedule so far, but because of the struggles they've had that was put through with Oklahoma and Iowa State, I think you saw them fall down as well, maybe kind of out of reach of the possible playoff rankings. So other than that, I mean, Ohio State at 4, again, sample size, you know, with their limited schedule, found them maybe at that 4 spot instead of the 3 spot where they were in the other rankings, but it was interesting because this is the one ranking I thought would tell us a lot about how the selection committee was kind of thinking, dealing with COVID and all the uneven scheduling.
Oklahoma at 6-2, and it seems like the committee is doing what it should do in these scenarios, which is basically say, what are you bringing to the table right now? It's supposed to be a snapshot of where we see you right now. Oklahoma had some very good players suspended. They suffered for that. They suffered their two losses. Now we're rolling along at 6-2. Is that what the committee did with Oklahoma? Is basically say, we know what you are now. We know what you've done, but we know what you are capable of today.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's one of the things they talked about last night a little bit was this idea that, you know, looking at tape, you know, looking at these teams, how they're playing right now, we're used to looking at the overall picture. I think because of not having head-to-head and because of not having these giant non-conference, matchups that we're normally used to seeing, I think you have to look at how these teams are playing at the moment. And I think you're seeing that with Oklahoma. Oklahoma's playing really well. Obviously, they're playing themselves back into the Big 12 championship race. So that's why they found themselves at 11. I mean, it's on the very outskirts, and not to say that Oklahoma doesn't have a chance if there's some sort of chaos ahead of them, but it's good to see the committee kind of doing this. I mean, they lean heavily on analytics a lot of times when it comes to these teams, but sometimes it's the eye test that I think really kind of can help determine where these teams are playing and how well they're playing at that time, because you could start out really hot and then struggle a little bit, and teams sometimes find their way higher up in the rankings. But it's good to see the committee looking at the idea of how these teams are playing at this very moment.
We know chaos and college football go hand in hand. They often dance at the same ball. But we kind of do this all the time. Well, what if these scenarios play out? But there is an interesting one that is coming up here, that if Alabama and Florida meet and Florida beats Alabama, an unbeaten Alabama team, and Clemson beats an unbeaten Notre Dame team, and they're both close, where does Ohio State go? Where would an unbeaten Oregon go in those scenarios? Who gets kicked out of the four teams I had mentioned earlier?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting story. I think, you know, Oregon's probably going to be the last man out. I mean, because of the fact that in that scenario, because again, I don't think their sample size is very big. You're looking at the fact they play seven games. The Pac-12 is struggling getting a lot of these games in. They're going to try to do their best to get as much as they can, but I think they're going to have problems. I think Ohio State in that scenario, if you've got a one-loss Alabama team, a one-loss Florida team, you know, Notre Dame has a loss, Clemson has a loss, Ohio State's going to be in trouble. You know, again, they've lost the game already. They lost the game to Maryland. You know, they've got to continue to play their schedule, you know, because if they don't, if they come in with, you know, six wins, even though they're 6-0, I really have a hard time buying that the committee looks at them and says, okay, based on your schedule, based on who you played, and again, they're not going to have a lot of tough opposition until they get, you know, to that Michigan game. And even then, based on what Michigan has done this year, it hurts them. I think Ohio State might find their way on the outside of that as well. So that's the tough thing about this season, is because of the fact that these schools and conferences are playing limited scheduling, you know, there could be an opportunity where a team could be, you know, 5-0 and not get an opportunity to play. I mean, in the playoff, because these other teams have played longer, they've gone through much more, and their sample size is so much bigger, and they played better competition. So it's going to be interesting, and I'm sure Ohio State is fingers crossed if they get all their games in, and some of the things that are going on right now continue to move forward, like Notre Dame being undefeated.
It would have been interesting if they had said, look, we know Clemson lost a close classic game in South Bend, and they did it without Trevor Lawrence, but we are going to dock you a little bit, maybe have put Ohio State ahead of them. Then you could sort of see a scenario play out where Clemson is going to have to be better than an unbeaten Ohio State team. But that's not what they did. They said basically the two ACC schools, because I got to put Notre Dame in quotes there, they're in the top three in the country as we stand right now.
Yeah, it's a big statement.
That's right.
That's why I wanted to see how this first ranking came out, because, like you said, if Ohio State's third, okay, that says that even though they only played, you know, four games, you see them as being, you know, a better team than maybe Clemson at this point. But they didn't do that. So now all of a sudden, now you start to think, okay, well, that's interesting. Now what, you know, how are you going to judge them in the next coming couple of weeks? I mean, it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be the thing that I think, you know, the committee is going to have the most, difficult challenges. You know, where do you put these conferences that don't play these full schedules? I mean, Oregon right now, it's got to be, you know, the Pac-12, you're looking around thinking, man, if Oregon loses a game or two, you're down to five games. You know, you played five games this year. Is it worth, you know, all the trouble and stuff that you went through, all the money that you spent on the testing and everything and trying to push back to get this conference into play? Is it worth that if that doesn't happen? I mean, look at Utah. And this is a great, I tweeted this out last night. They lost another game. At the most they're going to play this season is four games. I mean, four games is nothing. And I mean, it's not their fault, but I mean, again, this is kind of what was going on. Same thing for Ohio State. Ohio State's got to keep open things, move forward. And since they're not able to open up the things and play the non-conference games, the conference is going to try to do everything it can to make sure that Ohio State has enough of a schedule to make sure that they make a good push for the playoff.
Matt Burchill joins us, Orlando Sentinel on college football. What were your thoughts on Dabo Swinney's comments about Florida State and kind of throwing a little bit of accusation that the administrations did not want to play Clemson using COVID as an excuse? It seems like a big charge to make publicly. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I don't like it. I think Dabo, and what's worse about Dabo's situation is Dabo has spent the last 2 days beating the drum on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's let it go. You know what normally would happen is you want to talk about it for 1 day, that's fine. Maybe two at the most. But at that point, then stop. You know, I mean, you've got other things to focus on. You've got the rest of the season to worry about. I understand that game was important in the sense of, you know, you may need that game when we're talking about the average number of ACC games. We're talking about the tiebreaker. But to sit here and just keep beating on it and keep, you know, going on about it. And my thought was, I would like to see the ACC step in and basically tell Dabo, shut up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. You talked for two times. You got your comments out there. Let it go. You know, I give credit to Mike Norvell in Florida State. for just basically, you know, staying the line and saying, hey, we did what we thought was safe, not coming back and firing back and making this a bigger issue. Because to me, all this has done is made Dabo look really bad. And I mean, it makes him look petty. And I think that's not what Dabo, the idea was that Dabo wanted to do. But again, you know, there's two kind of Dabos. There's a Dabo that I think is the aw shucks type, you know, coach that everyone kind of goes, oh, that's cute. And then there's the Dabo who's a really kind of thought out process. He really wants, as a coach, he wants to get these wins. And I think that's a little bit what we saw, you know, this week. If he needs to stop and if he continues to talk about it, I think it's just only going to hurt him in the long run.
Yeah, and also, too, I agree with you completely. It seems like Dabo is starting to realize who he is on the hierarchy of college football, that he can say these things, and he knows, you know, I'm not a guy that's struggling to keep a job. I'm not trying, you know, I'm Dabo Swinney. I'm one of the top coaches in the country.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing that makes us look back, too, think about what we're going through in the country right now. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the pandemic is rising again. You've got people, you know, record numbers of deaths, you know, people struggling with this disease. This looks so petty now. I mean, and considering the fact that this is all about this idea of being safe, rather being safe than sorry, now you're going to complain about it? I mean, this is a win-at-no-cost, you know, win-at-all-cost measure. And I think, to me, that's what really makes Dabo look bad. Look around and think about what's going on in the country before you start opening your mouth and trashing another school for trying to be safe and keep its players safe. To me, it just makes them all look really bad.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, my friend. Thanks, you, as always, for coming on whenever we need you. We love it. Appreciate it, my man.
No problem. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and please stay safe.
You got it. Matt Michelle of the Orlando Sentinel. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Come back. Some more thoughts. It is rivalry weekend, so we'll get off the Dabo train for a second and give you some thoughts on some of the rivalry games that are still scheduled to go on in college football this weekend as we continue with Wake Up Call.